speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
I believe that certainly the simplicity of worship which we carry out is that which pleases God and honors Him in the way that we do it. In John 4, in verse 24, he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if we worship with the proper attitude of mind and in harmony with the things revealed by the apostles in all truth, then certainly we're pleasing unto God. The Word of God directs our lives as we would like for it to direct yours. In 2 Peter 1:3, he said, seeing that by His divine power He hath granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. So the blessings that come to us in this life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are in the church which He built and which He purchased with His own blood. It presents to us the plan and pattern for living. It is the expression of God's love to lost mankind. So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. So we realize the important work that we're doing. We're hopeful that you realize the importance of saving your soul. Have those things in your life that pertain to life and godliness by coming to be with us in these services, and we're hopeful that we will see you soon. What is a preacher? That certainly is a question that needs to be answered, isn't it? There are many preachers in the world. Not all of them are preaching what they maybe should preach, but at any rate, there are many, many preachers in the world. In Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 13, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Do you know that's the one of four times that the word preacher is used in the text of the Bible? It's also used in 1 Timothy 2:7, where Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in verity. Then again, in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 7, there the Bible says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, and I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in verity. Then again, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 11, there the Bible says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And then last of all, in 2 Peter 2:5, there the Bible simply says, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, a preacher, then, is an important person because he's one who is speaking God's message. In each case here, we find the term refers to the type of work that a person must do and is doing, namely, publicly proclaiming the Word of God. So if the New Testament is our supreme guide and final authority today in matters religious, we want to use the Word in harmony with that which God uses it. You know, in the two references to Timothy, Paul describes himself, whereunto I was appointed a preacher. Note the manner in which he followed this divine appointment. In Acts 20:27, he said, for I shrank not from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. He had just said, I am free from the blood of all men. And that, of course, is what made him free, was the fact that he did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God. Many preachers today do not all preach the whole counsel of God. But we should, shouldn't we? In his exhortation to Timothy, Paul instructed, I charge thee in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee, it is said in 1 Timothy 4:16. Also in 2 Timothy, the 5th verse, he said, be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. Now it may be safely concluded that the preacher is one who makes known publicly the Word of God in its completeness. And this is what his responsibility is. That's what we will answer for in the great day of judgment. This is what the Bible has to offer on the subject. But down through the ages, from the Garden of Eden until now, man has not been content to let God's Word be final in matters religious, and the matter at hand is not excluded concerning preachers. Some have heaped titles upon the preacher that the Bible doesn't authorize. Some want to call him Reverend. Others want to call him Father or Pastor. Well, to apply to these men in the capacity of preaching an unscriptural term is to do them harm. And there is no Bible authority for this use. I know some preachers who want to be called Reverend. They want to be called Father or Pastor. But what should we see when we see these terms? Well, the term Reverend, for instance, is found only once in the Bible. Were you aware of that? There it says in Psalms 111, verse 9, Holy and Reverend is God's name. It is applied to God. And for a man to assume its use is to make himself equal with God and thus incur the wrath of God upon him as his creature. In that great day of judgment, we should answer for these type of things. We're not to be set apart from other men, but neither are we to be called reverent, as if we were on an equal with God. Then second of all is the term Father. Now the term Father is in a religious sense, again, a title used by God alone. Hear Jesus in Matthew 23:9. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Well, can't you see, my friends, along with myself, that for mortal man to accept and encourage this title is to violate an express command of the Lord Jesus Christ? He who does shall not be held guiltless. No, we're not to call people pastor or reverend or father. But let's look at the term pastor a minute. Many people want to pay us honor, and they want to call us pastor because some preachers want to be called that, even though they should have studied the Bible and not do so. The term pastor in its singular form is not found in the New Testament. Did you know that? Only once does it appear, and that's in Ephesians 4:11. And then it's in the plural form. It's used to refer to the same group of men who are elsewhere called elders, or bishops, or shepherds, or presbyters. Always plural, never singular. Does that mean anything to us? Well, of course it does. It indicates to us that this is a group of men, not a single man that is called the pastor. Well, these are the ones into whose hands the leadership of the church is placed. They're charged with the oversight. They're charged to watch for the souls of men. But on every occasion, a plurality is indicated, and thus destroys the idea that one man can be the pastor of one local church. Now, of course, that's in the Lord's church. If this is their church, and they do not claim the Lord is over this church, then they can do what they please. But if we want the Lord to be our head, then we're going to have to follow the Lord's will in these matters. Let us be content, then, with calling a preacher what the Bible calls him. A preacher, referring to his public proclamation of the gospel. An evangelist, Ephesians 4:11, Acts 21:8, referring to a preacher or a minister, 1 Timothy 4:6, Ephesians 3:7, referring to him as a servant, that particular part of his work as a servant of God. Well, maybe we need to go further this morning in our discussion about what a preacher is and find out the purpose of preaching. We read already from 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4, where Paul told Timothy to preach the word, to be in season and out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But continue thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist, suffer the hardship, fulfill thy ministry. This matches exactly what Peter said by inspiration also in 1 Peter 4:11. Yet if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. Well, what is the purpose then of preaching in order that we may understand better what the preacher is and what he is to do? Well, first of all, we learn that preaching is to examine the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every preacher, then, should examine the Scriptures, not evade the Scriptures, Isn't it sad to see some preachers who evade the Scriptures? Why, if you listen to them preach, you hardly ever hear the Scriptures mentioned. In Acts 17:11, he said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were true. My friend, if the preacher doesn't preach the Scriptures and examine the Scriptures and evades the Scriptures, that doesn't mean that you have the right to follow him to his destruction. Let us be those who examine and check the Scriptures. Let us prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Well, the purpose then of preaching is to examine the Scriptures. But second of all, the purpose of preaching is to exalt the Son of God. Not to exclude him, but to exalt him. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23-24, Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Well, in the second chapter, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ, and him crucified." Well, that certainly gives us the idea of what we are to do. We're to uphold the Son of God. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Well, if we don't exalt the Son of God in our preaching, then we're excluding the Son of God. If we stand in front of the cross, my friends, instead of behind the cross, then we're not going to be the kind of preacher that Paul was. We're not going to be the kind of preacher the Lord would have us to be. But we're not to exalt ourselves. We are not to exclude the Son of God, which we would do in exalting ourselves. But let us exalt the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the blessed and only potentate. But then, third of all, we are to preach the gospel to explain salvation. Not to eliminate salvation, but to explain it. In Acts 2, verse 36-38, after Peter had preached the powerful sermon of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the sins these people were in, it says in verse 36 that he said, "Let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God made him both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Well, they knew what to do because this was a faithful gospel preacher. It was his purpose to preach the whole counsel of God and to preach it only as the Lord had revealed it. He explained to them what they must do in order to be saved. He didn't try to eliminate the plan of salvation. There are too many preachers now who are eliminating every one of the conditions by which we might be saved. Some say we believe in universal salvation. You don't even have to believe in the Lord. But that's not true, my friends. Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins." Others say, "Well, we believe, but we don't have to repent." But Jesus said, "Except ye repent, you'll perish." Luke 13 and verse 3. We must explain that to people. If we're faithful gospel preachers, we will. But not only must we believe and repent, we must also confess the precious name of Christ. "Whosoever," Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." And there, my friends, we find another step in the way of salvation. But that's not all. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We need to explain to people then, as did Philip to the eunuch, that we must be baptized upon our confession of faith in order to be saved. Let's look over to Acts the 8th chapter, verses 35-39 for just a moment. Philip joins himself to the chariot where the eunuch is studying and has been to worship, going home now. But he's reading from the text of Isaiah. And he began with that same scripture, the Bible says, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "Behold, look here. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. Both of them went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They both came up out of the water. The Spirit caught Philip away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing in the forgiveness of his sins. Well, now, what would it have been, my friends, if Philip had joined himself to this chariot and not explained salvation to this man? What would it have been if had he had eliminated the things concerning baptism, or the things concerning confession, or the things concerning repentance or belief? Well, he would not have been a faithful gospel preacher, would he? This purpose in preaching, then, is to examine the Scriptures, not evade them, to exalt the Son of God, not exclude Him, and to explain salvation, not to eliminate it. But then, fourth of all, we are to expose sin. This is something that many preachers do not intend to do, it seems like. They had rather cause one to be entertained, or they had rather say those things that are pleasing and soft and that will not offend anybody. And they do not want to tell men about their sins. But you know, when we don't tell men about their sins, we're endorsing their sins. And if we fail in this, we're failing to expose, as Paul taught Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. He said, now, Timothy, you preach the word. Be constant or instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, do you suppose that Timothy understood by this he was to reprove and rebuke sin? Oh, there's no doubt about it. But that, my friends, is out of the vocabulary of many who preach today. We are to expose sin, not to endorse it. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravening wolves. Well, now, is this exposing sin? Yes. It's exposing that wolf in sheep's clothing. Jesus was a preacher of righteousness. He knew the purpose of preaching. Then again, Ephesians 5:11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Now, there are those in the world who realize the works of darkness should not be fellowshipped, and so they don't fellowship those, but neither do they reprove them. You know, there are two thoughts in that command. We are to keep ourselves from these unfruitful works of righteousness of darkness, but we're also to reprove them. So the purpose of preaching. A gospel preacher will expose sin. He will not endorse sin. But then it is to exhort also the sinner. And in Acts 2 and verse 40, Peter said, with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. When the preacher Ananias, well, a certain disciple he's called, but he went to Saul, who was a great persecutor of the church, and he said, Saul, why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What an exhortation. Just the same exhortation that we would make to many today in this radio audience. My friend, if you're in sin, there's only one way out, and that is to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Whoever gave us the idea that preachers were to entertain? That's not our work. Our work, according to the Bible, is to exhort the sinner, expose his sin, explain salvation, to exalt the Son of God, and to examine the Scriptures. But last of all, for our study this morning, we are to encourage men to submit to the way of the Lord. We're not to elude saying anything about submission. We're not to teach them, you're okay, I'm okay, and no one will be lost. Because 2 Thessalonians 1:7 through 9 says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, he'll come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, do you believe we must submit to the gospel? Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. James 1:21-22, he said the word was able to save our souls, but we're to be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We must not then forget the purpose of preaching and what a preacher is. And my friends, you ought to uphold the hands of those who examine the Scriptures and exalt the Son of God and explain salvation and expose sin and exhort the sinner and encourage the submission. So indeed, men can be saved. What a glorious gospel we have, and how much we ought to proclaim it.